Old business, our first item of old business is conditional use number 2416, Over the Hill Holdings LLC.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Robertson is going to read a motion into the record for me.
Thank you, Mr. Mears. And Mr. Mears has been working with me to prepare this motion. And so I'll read it on his behalf as requested. And it is, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mears moves that the commission recommend a partial approval and a partial denial of conditional use number 2416 for Over the Hill Holdings LLC for an indoor and outdoor shooting archery range. Specifically, this motion is to approve the conditional use for the indoor shooting range and deny the conditional use for the outdoor shooting range based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the use as an indoor shooting range was approved in 2018 as case number 12083 by the Sussex County Board of Adjustment. Mr. Mears has no objection to the continued use of the indoor shooting range under that approval. Also, Sussex County certainly respects the need for firearm practice and training by our residents and law enforcement agencies. However, this application is a zoning issue, and the fundamental question is whether this is an appropriate location for this type of use, in this case, particularly the outdoor shooting range. Mr. Mears does not believe that this is the most appropriate location for this proposed use as an outdoor shooting range. Two, during the Board of Adjustment hearing on case number 12083 for an indoor range, the applicant specifically stated that they were not seeking approval for an outdoor shooting range, stating that, quote, the Environmental Protection Agency discourages the practice of commercial outdoor firing ranges, close quote. After the Board of Adjustment approved the indoor range, the applicant sought approval of a change in zone for the property. That change in zone did not occur. Despite the applicant's knowledge and involvement with the Sussex County land use process, and despite the applicant's contrary statements to the Board of Adjustment that it was not seeking an outdoor shooting range, an outdoor shooting range was nevertheless constructed on the property without any zoning permits or approvals for the use. Three, there are homes in close proximity to the site. There was opposition testimony from one of the owners of a home adjacent to this site that the outdoor range would be noisy and would interfere with her quiet enjoyment of her property. Mr. Mears believes that these concerns are legitimate and apply equally to all of the other houses that are adjacent to or near the property. He also believes that it is reasonable to conclude that the outdoor shooting range and noise generated by it will adversely affect the values and marketability of the nearby residential properties. Four, although the applicant provided evidence suggesting that the noise generated by the outdoor shooting range will be minimal, he is not satisfied that the evidence accurately reflects how the outdoor range will be used. The noise testimony was based upon the discharge of a single firearm. However, from the photographs in the record, it appears that there will be eight shooting positions or stalls allowing at least eight firearms to be discharged simultaneously or in rapid succession. As a result, the actual noise will be much louder and more prolonged than the single firearm that was tested and presented as noise evidence by the applicant. Five, Mr. Mears is not satisfied that the outdoor range, and particularly the downrange portion of it, has been constructed in a way that mitigates the noise generated by the outdoor use to the fullest extent possible. It may be possible that the applicant can provide additional protection against the noise disturbance from this facility on the neighboring properties during the county council hearing, but he is not satisfied that the evidence presented to the commission sufficiently addresses this concern. Six, while there's definitely a need for indoor and outdoor shooting ranges in Sussex County, particularly so that law enforcement and police agencies can use them for training, there are other more appropriate locations for them that are not so close to existing homes. Seven, it is unfortunate that the applicant constructed the outdoor shooting range without the appropriate approvals for the use. They did so contrary to their own statements that such a range would not be built. They constructed the range at their own peril without approvals and with the risk that the use would not be approved. As a result, the existence of the outdoor range cannot be used in support of the conditional use. Eight, for all these reasons, based upon the record before the commissions, which may be supplemented during the council hearing, Mr. Mears moves that the commission recommend a denial of the outdoor shooting range portion of this conditional use. Nine, the indoor shooting range was approved by the Board of Adjustment as a special exception in case number 12083, decided in 2018. It is appropriate to confirm the indoor shooting range through this conditional use, and the indoor shooting range shall be permitted to include sales of guns, rifles, and equipment in a manner that is accessory to the primary use as an indoor shooting range. 10, the indoor shooting range is entirely self-contained with noise deadening and safety features built into it. There is no evidence that the indoor shooting range will adversely affect neighboring properties or roadways. 11, the indoor shooting range provides a needed venue for shooting and target practice for residents of Sussex County, law enforcement agencies, and police departments. As a result, it has a public or semi-public character. And 12, this recommendation for approval of only the indoor shooting range is subject to the following conditions. A, the permitted use shall include only the indoor shooting range. It may include limited retail sales, including sales of guns, rifles, ammunition, and equipment in a manner that is accessory to the primary use as an indoor shooting range. B, the applicant must comply with all federal and state licenses and regulations for the use, including compliance with all federal and state requirements for the recovery and disposal of used ammunition. C, the use of the indoor range facility shall occur between the hours of 8 a.m. and 10 p.m. D, all dumpsters shall be screened from the view of neighboring properties and roadways. The dumpster locations shall be shown on the final site plan. E, parking shall be prohibited on area roadways. All on-site parking areas shall be shown on the final site plan and clearly marked on the site itself. F, all lighting shall be downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. G, one lighted sign no larger than 32 square feet in size shall be permitted. And H, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
So moved. Thank you, Mr. Robertson.
You're welcome.
Okay, it's moved and seconded. Any discussion before we take the vote? Anyone have anything they'd like to?
No.
No?
Other than when I vote. Well,
I'm sorry?
I will when I vote.
Oh, okay.
That's okay.
All right, then. It's been moved and seconded to recommend a partial approval and partial denial of conditional use number 2416 Over the Hill Holdings LLC for the reasons and with stipulations stated in the motion. And we'll call the roll to vote, and we'll start with Ms. Wingate.
I am a no, Mr. Chairman, because I am in support of both the approval of both the indoor and outdoor ranges. I feel that there could be a condition put on the outdoor use to limit the amount of time that they're allowed to shoot, which I think would help all of the neighbors. So I'm a no.
Okay. Mr. Mears?
I vote yes because of the reasons, conditions, and stated in the motion, and it's just wrong to put a shooting range in somebody's backyard without a public hearing.
Okay. And Mr. Collins?
I vote yes for the reasons stated by Mr. Mears and what's in the motion.
Okay. Mr. Butler?
I'm going to be a no. I think there should be conditions put on the outdoor shooting range. I think we could look at it in maybe a different light at a different day, but right now that's where I'm at.
Okay, then, and the chair votes yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion. However, I want to remind the applicant that this is a two-step process. We make a recommendation to County Council based on the evidence that's presented to us at our public hearing. You have another opportunity for another public hearing, and you will be very much now informed about what the real issues are, and you will certainly have the opportunity to address them. And frankly, I think everyone wishes you well and hopes that something can be worked out. But as it stands right now, based on the evidence that was in place, the motion was made, the motion carries 3-2.
Just one point of clarification, Mr. Mears. I think I know what your point was. I just don't want there to be any confusion if somebody goes back and listens to this. Because the issue in the record was that the outdoor range was constructed prior to an application or prior to a hearing. They had a public hearing on the application, but it was the construction of it without the public hearing.
Building it before you had a public hearing without the neighbors being able to put their feedback in and putting the Gaza Strip in their backyard.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure, I understood. I thought I did. I just want to make sure we're clear. All good. Yep.
Well, and that being said, certainly nobody can go back and undo that. However, the applicant will have the opportunity to present, another plan, to present some other alternatives, perhaps, or some other mitigating circumstance. And it is not at all unusual for County Council to make a completely different decision.
No, absolutely.
Especially, we're a 3-2, so it wasn't a unanimous vote. So there certainly will be that opportunity.
And I would like to record, too, that I don't condone anyone doing anything that goes against any regulations or rules or conditions that have been placed by the county. I don't agree with that at all, but I do support the need for it.
Well, I think everybody supports the, supports what's happening there. It's just a question of where and how.
Right.
But that has not, you know, that's been decided for us. It has not been finally decided. And that's what I have to tell you, all of you who are listening, this is the best process there ever could be. There are two chances. Everything gets vetted at our level. All the issues are now out on the table, and county council can make a really good decision now. So the process works. Sometimes it's laborious and a little frustrating, but it does work. Our next public hearing our next item is conditional use number 2429, Jason Hignett.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Benson, would you like to go and read this in the record, please?
Sure. I'll read this one. No, I've gotten to. Mr. Butler's asked me to read the motion with regard to conditional use number 2429, Jason Hignett, and his motion is that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 2429 for Jason Hignett for a landscaping business based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the property is located on a small parcel of land. Say that three times fast. The property is located on a small parcel of land, but the applicant proposes a small landscaping business that will fit the location. As the business hopefully grows, another larger location may become necessary in the future. Two, the site is located within the developing area according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. This low impact type of use is appropriate within the area. Three, the property is zoned AR1 agricultural residential. The use of the property as a landscaping business is consistent with the underlying agricultural zoning of the property. Four, the use will not adversely affect area roadways or neighboring properties. Five, a landscaping company provides a service to a wide variety of Sussex County residents and businesses, and it has a public or semi-public character that will benefit the residents and businesses of Sussex County. Seven, there was no opposition to the application. Eight, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, this use shall be limited to a landscaping business that performs off-site landscaping work. B, no manufacturing shall occur on the site. This prohibition includes the shredding or grinding of any materials and also includes the dyeing of mulch or similar materials. C, as stated by the applicant, there shall not be any retail sales occurring from the site, and no materials such as dirt, topsoil, mulch, stone, or compost shall be stored on the site. D, one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet per side shall be permitted. E, the hours of operation shall be limited to 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. There shall not be any Sunday hours. The applicant shall be able to operate beyond these hours on an as-needed basis for limited situations such as snow removal, storm damage, cleanup, and similar events. F, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements, including any entrance and roadway improvements. G, since this property also includes the applicant's residence, the final site plan shall show the area where this landscaping business will be located on the property. H, the final site plan shall clearly show all areas for vehicle and equipment storage and parking, and these areas shall be clearly marked on the site itself. No more than six vehicles associated with the use shall be parked on the site, and there shall not be any parking or storage within the property setbacks. I, because this application was filed as a result of a constable's violation, the final site plan must be submitted within 6 months of approval of this ordinance by county council. Otherwise, the violation process shall continue with respect to the applicant and this property. J, failure to comply with any of these conditions may be grounds for termination of the conditional use approval. And K, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
I second the motion.
Well, just before that, Mr. Butler, is that your motion?
That's my motion,
okay.
Sir.
Yep. It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2429, Jason Hignett, for the reasons and with stipulations stated in the motion. Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mears?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Collins?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Butler?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
And chair votes yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion. Motion carries 5-0. Okay, our next item is conditional use number 2432, Simon Ferris and Lauren Crawford.
Yep, Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of conditional use number 2432 for Simon Ferris and Lauren Crawford for a beauty salon business based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the site is located within the coastal area according to Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. this use is appropriate within this area. Two, the property is zoned AR1 agricultural residential. Use of the property as a home-based salon business is consistent with the other mix of businesses in the area. Of note are a bed and breakfast, a boutique hotel, two landscaping businesses, a storage facility within close proximity to the site. Three, the use will not adversely affect area roadways or neighboring properties with the conditions imposed with this CU. Four, a beauty salon provides a service to a wide variety of Sussex County residents and businesses, and it has a public or semi-public character that will benefit the residents and businesses of Sussex County. In particular, it would be convenient to area residents who prefer to not travel Route 1 to reach a local salon. Five, there was a mix of support and opposition to the proposal, with supporters noting the benefits to locals who may prefer to avoid the highway, general support of small businesses, specific support for the owners based on prior experiences with their business in Pennsylvania. Several neighboring property owners noted concerns about reduction of enjoyment of their properties due to customer or employee headlights shining into their properties, and concerns about the traffic conditions on Old Landing Road and safety issues that might be worsened by adding this home-based business to the area. These concerns can be mitigated with appropriate conditions. Number six, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, this use shall be limited to a beauty salon business. B, there shall be not more than two stylist stations and two accompanying washing and two drying stations. The final site plan shall depict the area of the existing structure set aside for the business use, and this floor plan shall show the locations of the two sets of stations. C, as stated by the applicant, there shall only be retail sales occurring from the site that coincide with scheduled appointments of clients, not general retailing. D, one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet per side shall be permitted. E, the hours of operation shall be limited to 8 a.m. through 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturdays, there shall be no Sunday hours. F, there shall be a vegetative screen and or privacy fence erected by the applicant on the back and south side of the property to reduce impact of customer and employee headlights on neighboring residents. The location and type of vegetation and fencing shall be shown on the final site plan. G, any lighting on the site shall be screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. H, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements, including any entrance or roadway improvements. I, the final site plan shall clearly show all areas for employee and customer vehicle parking, and these areas shall be clearly marked on the site itself. There shall not be any parking or storage within the property setbacks. J, failure to comply with any of these conditions may be grounds for termination of the conditional use approval. And K, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
I second the motion.
Second. Been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2432, Simon Ferris and Lauren Crawford, for the reasons and with stipulations stated in the motion. Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Mears?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Collins?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Butler?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
The chair votes yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion. The motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to read all four of these in.
Yeah, because okay. just for the benefit of the public, don't anticipate a motion one way or another on these four. They were, and I think we talked about this at the conclusion of the last meeting, they were put on today's agenda for discussion. And so that, since they're all somewhat intermingled, so that we can have an open discussion, what we're going to do, and what Mr. Wheatley's alluded to, is we're going to read all four of them and then just talk about it.
We're going to discuss them the same way that we did the hearing. So this would be change of zone number 2025, North Star Properties, LLC. Change of zone number 2026, North Star Properties, LLC. Subdivision 2023-14, North Star Property, LLC. And conditional use number 2499. North Store Property LLC. Okay, who would like to start?
Well, let me start with one thing, because there was a question about the TID and phasing and how that would potentially impact the timing of Mulberry Knoll Road. I mean, it was somewhat of a high level question, and that was whether the TID or the master agreement between Sussex County and DLDOT itself prohibited phasing or, you know, time requirements for roadway constructions like Mulberry Knoll Road. And one of the reasons that was brought up during the testimony, and then I recalled that also came into question on another project, Scenic Manor, which is ironically on the other end of Mulberry Knoll Road, And it had to do with the intersection there, and the commission originally required that at that intersection that the traffic light there be installed before, you know, certain work could occur in that scenic matter subdivision. So I was concerned that there was a prohibition against phasing. So there's not in the TID agreement between Sussex County and DelDOT. But what we need to be careful about, and I think if this is going to be approved, and I'm not saying it is, but if it is, we need to make sure that whatever time frames are in place, if there are going to be time frames for the construction of that phase of Mulberry Knoll Road, are spelled out clearly, and it also states that they have to be referenced in the developer agreement for the TID, and that's a three-way agreement between the developer, Sussex County, and DelDOT, so that it's clear not only in the conditions of approval, but also in that contract between the three parties under the TID. So that was a long way of saying there's no prohibition against tying road construction to phasing, but that it also needs to be clearly documented, not only in a condition, but in the TID agreement.
Do you agree also that we are limited with how we can even approach the timing, because ultimately it's going to be what's DelDOT doing on their end?
Well, we are, but we can also put trigger points still, and if they're not met, they're not met, you know. And so at that point, if, you know, the applicant is behind schedule or whatever and they haven't hit their mark, you know, they'd have to stop. If DelDOT hangs them up, they'd have to stop. So at that point, if there is, you know, a trigger that's not satisfied, then no more building permits or whatever, you know, is written into it, or it would have to be modified. But I would say this, though. I think that probably everybody in this room, including the commission and county staff and the public even, you know, if this is going to get approved, we want that road to be done fast.
I agree.
You know, and so I think built into this would be also leverage that the county hopefully could put on DelDOT to streamline it, to get it done, you
yes,
know?
Yes, I agree.
You know, I mean, I know I don't have the magic words yet for that or what we do, but I think that's an important part of that, because everybody has an expectation that's not going to get hung up in some bureaucracy, you know?
I concur.
Me too.
Yeah, I completely support doing a timeline on it and right. getting that road done first.
Yeah.
What is the typical timeline for creating that sort of agreement? Would we move forward with approvals here if we were to do it contingent on those being put in place?
Yeah, and it would have to be, because the TID agreement would have to be in place, you know, really before final, and certainly before any construction happens. So the reason that it has to be clear in the conditions that the TID agreement with the developer and DelDOT in the county needs to state this is because that TID agreement, the way it's set up, doesn't come back to the commission. You know, that just goes to county council. So we, you know, just need to make sure that it doesn't get missed along the way, you know, that this is a requirement. Because that's kind of what happened in Scenic Manor. In that one, you know, there was that condition imposed, and everybody was fine with it. And then the agreement got executed between Sussex County, the developer, and DelDOT on that one. And the agreement said there cannot be any timing conditions associated with the offsite work to be imposed. So that was in that agreement. The developer came back in and said, and it's not a developer in any way related to this one, or even any of the parties involved, but they said, well, it's in this agreement that you can't have a condition that ties us to, you know, any time frame, so you got to eliminate that condition. You know, and at that point, you know, the cow was out of the barn, because it had been agreed upon by county council and DelDOT.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, long answer, but the moral of the story is, if that's going to happen, make it so that it has clear time frames and that mistake doesn't happen again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm good with it.
Yeah.
So is staff going to confirm that the design as presented to the commission meets the open space?
You can take that one. I believe staff might have proposed something alternative, right?
I didn't see that.
So yeah. This was raised during the public hearing. Numerically, though, those landings are contiguously connected, as the applicant presented. So as as presented during the hearing, there is a contiguous amount, so numerically that box is checked. However, the comment that was raised during the public hearing was that, for practical purposes, those lands are quite fragmented.
Right.
Staff have looked at this, and this came up during pre-application discussions between staff and the applicant as to the best way to try to prevent fragmentation of those lands. There is sufficient room there to reconfigure those lots, to shift. It's actually Road E, Road C, Road B, all of that could be reconfigured to have a greater contiguous area of open space. It might mean that lots 221 through 226 have to be relocated, but that can be done, and staff have worked that out. So.
Great, thank you. I think that the developer should do a fence for the horse farm.
Absolutely.
Because of the dangers that the owner of the horse farm presented to the commission.
And some kind of solid fence.
You said. I thought you said do events.
I initially heard that too.
Did I offend you?
Events?
Did I offend you, Mr. Chairman?
No, not at all. I think the fence is an excellent idea.
And I think they should post signs. The developer needs to post signs.
You know, when we're from Sussex County, we run our words together.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about that, the Elks Lodge that is next door as well, I would like to require the developer, if there's anything that, if that sign has to be moved that they just put, that they just installed, that be at the expense of the developer, and put up a greater buffer along the Elks.
Agreed. And is the horse farm entitled to a larger buffer?
Well, they have a greater one anyways because it's agricultural.
Yeah, there's a larger setback because it's an agriculture use, but that's just strictly a setback. That doesn't talk about, you know, any kind of buffering. It's just a distance between that property line and improvements.
And if we could go back on the timeline of this construction of the whole thing, if it does get approved, I personally would like to see the affordable housing be complete first.
Oh, agreed.
Like that idea. I have some little bit of concern about how that's all being done. You know, the affordable housing is all the way up in one corner. The people who live there can't use the amenities that are being built for everyone else. I just have some concern about that.
I agree.
I don't know what can or should be done. If some accommodation can be made, because I'm just thinking there's a kind of a fairness issue there, I guess. I mean, are they part of this or not? If it's not part of this, then why is it in here as part of this application, you know?
Well, yeah, these kinds of amenities used to be provided as a public service through tax dollars.
Right.
We're essentially using HOAs to provide those now. And not providing them.
They provide them for the people that live there and the invitees,
yes,
of the people that live there. And the thing is do these people, do the folks in the affordable housing live there or not? You know?
Well, since it's being presented all together, I would suggest that they do live there. But I would have a problem with their monthly rental being increased a lot to compensate for the HOA fees if they're going to throw them in there.
That, or they can just construct some amenities for them.
I agree with that more.
Comparable amenities.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not necessarily a clubhouse, because that would not,
sure,
be practical, but, you know, there are certainly other things that could be done.
Well, I think they proffered some type of building. They would do community things with the group that live in the affordable housing, so I say add a pool to that. That's,
yeah,
what you're saying.
Okay. Well, I think that's, because that's going to be the attractive,
yep,
thing.
Reasonable.
If it's affordable housing, it's likely that it's going to be younger families,
mm-hmm,
with kids. It's a hot day. What do the kids want to do? And do you want to be the one to explain to the 7-year-old why he can't go in that pool over there?
That would break my heart.
Yeah.
No.
So that's the issue I have with it.
I agree. It's a concern.
Anything else?
On the affordable housing, I think we need to consider the expansion of the condition to be more specific.
Yeah, no, I know. That's a concern I have, just so that it's enforceable. We talked about that a little bit, but enforceable and trackable, I guess. I don't know if that's a word, you know, because right now it's, in what was proffered, it's not defined all that clearly. So, you know, and we get hung up in that. Not in a bad way, but you know, there's terms that are not defined, like workforce housing and affordable housing. Well, affordable housing could just mean less expensive than something else, and we want to make sure this is actually affordable housing, something, you know, not necessarily directly in line with what our SCRP program is, or, you know, housing authority funded programs or whatever, but something that really and truly provides affordable housing and that can be tracked by the county.
I agree.
And we've done that before. I'm not saying this is a perfect model, but there was another development that was sort of mirrored our SCRP program, where we put, you know, annual just reporting requirements, and it wasn't onerous for the developer, and it wasn't onerous for county staff either, but at least that way there was an official means of tracking, you know, occupancy and just the demographics of folks that are there to make sure it's being adhered to.
What's our leverage if they don't comply for some reason in the future?
Building permits.
Yeah, building permits. And I think if, you know, and we haven't gotten to the point of drafting any conditions, but I would think there would be penalties, potentially financial ones, that would pay into our housing trust fund, you know, the difference between whatever it should be and what they collected or whatever. So at least if there is some remedy, it goes back into housing.
I vaguely remember some affordable housing being advertised once and the billboard switching to luxury housing at one point. So yeah. That's, I just have visions of that happening.
Yeah.
Hmm. The one other item that I think we need to address, and this is going to take some, this is going to take some time, and it will take a motion, that I think we need some official input from the school system. And I think it might be wise for us to perhaps open the record for that purpose.
Yeah, you know, we got the information that Ms. Wingate received from them, but my concern, and that certainly is helpful, my concern is that's not official. You know, like, this way we actually reach out to the school district and get their comment, whatever that may be, on it. And then
If we open the record for that limited purpose and we make a formal inquiry to them, to the school district, give them the opportunity to respond, then we got to give the applicant and the public an opportunity to respond. So I know it's going to be a little cumbersome, but I think it's something we need to do.
I agree. How about any interconnectivity between the subdivision and the C3 so cars don't have to travel to and from the subdivision on Mulberry Road? That may require some creativity from the engineer, but I think that's something that we need to ask that they consider.
I generally would be in favor of interconnectivity between those properties.
Would that be something that would come in the form of a condition if we approve it?
Right. It would. Yeah. It'd be a condition.
I agree with you. Yeah.
A condition on the subdivision, and then that would tie into if the C3 gets approved. You know, a site plan review on that later on. One thing, too, I'll just point out, there was one I saw, because it's something that we've dealt with and county engineering has dealt with, and this is a minor thing, but we've seen situations with open space where it's unclear how that open space is supposed to be maintained. And it's not that anything's incorrect or, you know, or information's omitted, but we've started to see where developments are allowing, you know, grassy areas to turn into more natural meadows. And, you know, there's an expectation that's reasonable, I think, that some people think if it's open space, it's got to be, you know, manicured lawn, whereas that may not be the intention. And I know that came up during the hearing about some of that being maintained as meadow. My only comment, and this is something also going forward, is that be clearly denoted on a plan so that inspections can be done and there's not...
I think that's the issue. The issue is that on the recorded site plan, it needs to say, because, you know, that's the point at which people start laying their money down based on what they're being told and sold. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it needs to be clear on the plan if it's going to be allowed to go to meadow, what it can be, you know, what will it be used for? I mean, there are those who feel like open space should not be populated. Shouldn't have people walking through it. It should just be there to be seen, admired, and just know that it's there. Others want it to be more active, you know, have trails, have a, be able to play ball or soccer or whatever you want to do. You know, so those things are things that I think need to be worked out. Now, later on, if the, once the developer's gone, there, the HOA wants to do something different, there are, there will be mechanisms for them to do that. So it's not like it can't ever be changed. But when people are, are buying something, they need to know what they're buying.
Right.
And they need to know, and they're, you know, this is, this all speaks to this issue of predictability. Mm-hmm. That's what, that's at the heart and soul of what we do in zoning. That's why we have zoning, to provide a certain measure of predictability to make sure that an asphalt plant does not get built next to the daycare center. Okay, that's why we have it. There's got to be a certain certain amount of predictability. So that's what we need to make sure we provide.
That's all good points, Mr. Wheatley. And the meadow, then referring to the meadows, I'm seeing a lot in developments now, and I have it right in my own development where a pond is behind my house, and they have started putting meadow area around it, which is, it's lovely. The butterflies love it. There are wildflowers that come up. But it's not in the middle of a field where the kids can't play ball. So there's certain areas I think it's wonderful for it, but not all open space.
It's certainly great for wildlife and...
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, sir.
If you don't mind me interrupting, I have been working with the Department of Ag on some meadow ideas. So I will have some answers on those very, very soon. We're coming up with a seed mix, and that would be presented to county council or whoever at the time would make that decision. At this time, it seems very supportive by the state. So this might be something that we can incorporate later on down the road into these meadow programs with stipulations and for a year-to-year basis for a meadow to keep being reestablished as for mowing times to regenerate seed and to keep those meadows from having noxious weeds and trees in there. I believe it was about 4 or 5 weeks ago we did have a meeting with Director Skuse up there who was very supportive. So I think this would provide a lot of answers to some of these questions. I did talk to Department of Ag last week, and we should be on the road home on this here real soon.
Okay, great. Sounds good. It's encouraging. Yeah. Okay, anything else?
I've got a motion if no one has anything else.
Okay, Ms. Wingate.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we reopen the record for subdivision 2023-14, change of zone number 2026, conditional use number 2499, and change of zone number 2025, all regarding North Star Property, LLC, for the limited purpose of officially notifying the Cape and Lopen School District about these four applications and to receive any official written comment that the district may have concerning the applications. The record shall be held open until the close of business on August the 20th, 2024, for official written comment from the district on the applications. Then the record shall remain open until the close of business on September 4th, 2024 for written comment only from the applicant and the public and limited solely to comments received from the district with respect to the applications.
I second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to hold the record open on change of zone number 2025, change of zone number 2026, subdivision 2023-14. And conditional use number 2499, all North Star Property LLC, for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Mayors?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Collins?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Butler?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Chair votes yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion. Motion carries 5-0. Mr. Robertson, I think I know the answer to this question, but just for the benefit of the public, you know, we have a clock running. Typically, after our hearing closes, after the record closes, we have a certain number of days to make a decision. This reopening of the record resets that clock. So that clock will not start running until, what was the end date, the last date of?
August the 24th.
Well, after that, because the public.
September the 4th.
So the clock doesn't start running until September the 4th. So this gives the commission ample time to consider the other things that we've talked about, and we'll have 45 days after that date to finally to make a decision. So, you know, let's take our time and get it right. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen.